This is Toby Jenkins, host of Paradigm, Insights into Relationships and You, and what you hear is the sound of protests that are going on in my city and have been going on in my city since the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. We are all going through extraordinary times, and it has an effect on our mental health. So while this show is not about the advocacy or the event itself, each week for the next several weeks in 1 Minute Insight, I will have some tidbit related to the collective thing and trauma that we're all going through in the advocacy that we're in, activism that's taking place. So this is part two of my interview with Ron Big Black Garrett, and we're talking everything keto. We'll be right back.
Tuned into Paradigm, Insights into Relationships and You, hosted by Toby Jenkins, a licensed marriage and family therapist serving Central Kentucky. Each week, Toby will bring you a show with a topic related to mental health, relationships, or self-improvement. The name of the show, Paradigm, comes from that moment in the therapy process when a profound shift in perspective happens for a client, an epiphany, sometimes accompanied by physical reaction that leads them to look at things differently and make significant steps towards improving and enriching their lives.
You're listening to Paradigm, Insights into Relationships and You. I'm your host, Toby Jenkins. And today is part two of my discussion, Everything Keto, with Ron Big Black Garrett. And we left off at part one, talking about the wonderful world of keto desserts. It's funny, we two have given friends keto desserts, and they didn't know it was keto. And then when you tell them, they're like, there's no way. Like, especially that ice cream, our friends are like, that's keto? And so there are a couple of things, there are a couple sugar substitutes that don't have the glycemic effect on your blood sugar. So they're sugar alcohols. So erythritol is one, xylitol is another one. Now we have to order those off Amazon in order to get them. But like in terms of the ice cream recipe, you know, the ice cream doesn't have any milk in it. It has several most recipes have a base of several kind of, you know, it'd be like coconut milk, heavy cream, and like the old, you know, the coconut cream in a can, you know, how it has, you know, it's thick and fat. And guar gum, at least for the ice cream, is kind of a thickener. And those are some of the substitutes. My daughter has actually been experimenting with like a pecan bar. And so it's an almond flour, a blanched almond flour base, and then with erythritol as the sweetener, and then the pecans on top, and you bake it. I should have grabbed the recipe before I came down, but they're delicious. She makes them, you know, kind of thin, and that with some keto ice cream, you know, satisfies the sweet tooth for me. And you know, there's no significant glucose response for me. You know, I've talked a little bit about the almond bread. This is something, and I'll tell you what's in it. The recipe, which has become our thing recently. So it's almond bread. And so, you know, going back, you talked about bread, and we talked a little bit about wheat, and wheat is not something you can eat on a keto diet for multiple reasons, which are, you know, we don't, we're probably not go down that rabbit hole too much today, but this recipe comes from wholesomeyum.com, and it is it's a 5-6 ingredient coconut almond flour bread. So it's 2 cups of blanched almond flour, psyllium husk powder, which you can usually get at your grocery store, Whole Foods. Gluten-free baking powder, sea salt, 4 large eggs, coconut oil, like a 1/4 cup, and then 1/2 cup of warm water. And it bakes at 350 for about an hour. And so a couple weeks ago, I sent Ron this picture. I was like, oh, snap, I can make grilled cheese sandwiches again. So
yeah, I know, I saw it. I was jealous.
So, kind of the perfect recipe. You got grilled cheese with this, and it doesn't taste, one of the things when I was vegan is that having substitutes was always like an empty experience. But this bread, very versatile, doesn't taste like you're not eating bread. And so in terms of things you miss, that's probably something we should talk about too. So bread is one thing, at least bread the way we know it is one thing that people generally miss. What are some of the things you miss eating keto?
I think for me, I'm a little bit different than most because I really don't miss a lot, and it's because of how I'm wired. But the one thing I would probably say that I miss more than anything would be Popeye's chicken. And that's just sort of it. I don't miss the biscuits or the mashed potatoes, but the actual fried chicken itself, and it's specifically Popeye's, because I can pretty much do without anybody else's, even though I do like other fried chicken, but Popeye's is the one that I would probably miss the most. I don't get paid by Popeye's, of course.
Yeah.
But
if they like to pay us, they just give us a call.
Yeah, I know. You'd like to, because, hey, I kept y'all in business for years.
Yeah.
But Popeye's is probably it. I would probably say the only other thing, there's a local bakery here that makes this strawberry cake. And I just found it, which was sad. I found it the year that I went keto, which is sad. And I have it once a year now. I've had it for the last 2 years, once a year. And it's Edgar's, and they have a strawberry cake. And I do indulge in that once a year. I pay for it for about 3 days. But
yeah, it's worth that's interesting. It to
me because I've met my goal. I've lost about 130, 140 pounds.
Wow.
And so, and I know on those days I'm going to suffer from a little diabetic stuff, but I don't do it that often. So,
yeah.
But I've lost probably, officially I'm down about 105 pounds, but I told you that story the last time. The reason I say officially is because the last time I stopped weighing myself was when I was 337.
Mm-hmm.
But I was probably closer to 375 when I started keto.
Wow.
So officially I lost about 100, so I'm down to about, I'm just under 230 now.
And that's great.
I'm probably just under 230. Yeah. So I've lost a couple more pounds since I talked to you last. And I normally don't do the weight thing. I just know because I step on the scale about every 2 months or so just to get a measure, just to make sure I'm not going off track because I do eat non-keto from time to time. But yeah, so those are probably, that's probably it. Probably Popeye's more than anything. I would probably make a close second. French fries, French fries. Oh, and tortilla chips. So those are the ones. That's about it. Tortilla chips, I love. And it's funny because I told you how I have a sweet tooth, but for whatever reason, since I became keto, I don't really have a sweet tooth anymore. I can eat a ton of sweets, but I actually prefer when I go off keto, I actually prefer tortilla chips and fries. And I just don't eat them. Just don't eat them that often. So
yeah.
Moderation. That's moderation. I don't have to go the rest of my life without eating non-keto foods. I just know that I cannot eat them on a weekly basis.
Right. And so, you bring up a good point. I think with any lifestyle change or diet, indulging every now and then is probably not bad. I think the important thing is to kind of get back on. So like for me, and we're on keto for two different reasons. So, my my main measuring stick is my A1C and my daily glucose measurements. And so that's my benchmark whenever, I make decisions. So you mentioned before, we have some rituals. Of course, a lot of food is involved in rituals, but one of them is that when it's somebody's birthday in our house, we have cupcakes or cake for breakfast. And so, last time I said, okay, I'm going to have a cupcake. And, you know, sure enough, it spiked me and I could feel it. And what was interesting was being able, you know, with the, and I'll talk a little bit about the continuous glucose monitor, but in terms of understanding how my body responds, it spiked up to like 250. Actually, I went to work and taught that morning and I could feel it because I felt that kind of jittery kind of sensation. Yeah. And I was checking it, you know, through the morning. I was like, wow, this is amazing. And then it came back down. But like you, I would say it took me like 2 days before I kind of got back to where my baseline was. And so, you know, next time might we have a keto cupcake? Sure. But I might indulge every now and then. Another ritual we have is Jesus' birthday cake on Christmas morning.
I'm starting to find out that it's just not worth it. Because I feel horrible, and the older I get, I'm like, man, I feel horrible. And so I haven't really, it matter, thank God, we have a lady here in town, Marie's Cakes and More, and my Carrie had them. She surprised me with a complete full yellow cake, keto, with chocolate icing, which is my normal, I used to eat like half of that in one sitting when I wasn't keto. And she said, what's your favorite cake? And I didn't know she was setting me up. But this lady does complete keto cakes, keto cookies, keto everything. And she brought me a full cake. And I just finished that sucker off yesterday. You know, and I ate it just like I did the non-keto cake. I ate it just like that. So my carb count was probably up, but it was all keto and sugar-free still. So now I can keep my tradition going of eating half a cake. I don't eat half a cake, but I eat a good slice, a good big slice.
And that's something we've discovered too in the last couple of months with almond flour, blanched almond flour, is that cakes are now on the table again.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I want to make sure before we go any further, though, that for you guys and gals that are out there trying to do this keto thing, you got to remember, I've been doing this. I was straight keto for almost 2 years. Mm-hmm. It's only when I got down to where I'm at now, and I do it for diabetic reasons too.
Yeah.
When I got down to where I'm at now, that's when I go off every now and then, and I have the discipline to go off and then come back on. If you don't have that discipline, you don't need to be doing that. And if you have major health problems, you don't need to be doing that.
That's true.
So I just want to make sure I made everyone understand that, because I'm in a few keto groups. And I'm open and honest about my process, but some people can't handle that. And if you have big health problems, you don't need to be going off of it. And you need to be chilling and staying where you're at, especially if you're dealing with big spikes in your blood sugar, because it can kill you.
So I just had to
say that, because I didn't want people to think that, because I mentor a lot of people. They know, because I'm very honest with them about my process. But I use it like I do when I was training people, as a personal trainer. I tell them, this is your barometer, but I always leave a little bit of fluff room in there so that you can have your time when it's time. And, but you can't necessarily do that all the time with keto, especially if someone's diabetic. If you're diabetic, I'm diabetic, but like I said, I go to the doctor, you know, 3 times a year because I can afford it. And I keep a good check on my blood, my HbA1c, and it's always no higher than 6.
Yeah.
So it's always around 6. And it could be lower if I completely followed keto. When I was complete the first 2 years, it was always right at 5.
That's good. Real good.
So I had to just point that out, because I know there's going to be some people listening. I don't want people thinking that you can just, especially if you're starting out on keto, you need to go at least 6 months before you decide to get off keto. And there's a whole number of reasons for that. And you go look up these resources and it'll tell you why you need to stay strict for a while, because your body needs to correct itself.
Let's jump into that when we come back after this break. Some of the key resources between the two of us that we've relied on through this journey and lifestyle change. So You're listening to Paradigm, Insights into Relationships and You. Today we're talking keto, diabetes with Ron Garrett. So we'll be right back. This is Toby Jenkins, founder of Jenkins Couples and Family Therapy and host of Paradigm, Insights into Relationships and You. Jenkins Couples and Family Therapy is a proud sponsor and supporter of Paradigm, Insights into Relationships and You. At Jenkins Couples and Family Therapy, we work with couples, families, and individuals walking with you through life's challenges and transitions. You can find out more about Jenkins Couples and Family Therapy and request an appointment through telehealth or in person at www.jenkinscft.com. Or by calling 859-806-0093. We're back. You're listening to Paradigm, Insights into Relationships and You. I'm your host, Toby Jenkins, and today my guest is Ron Garrett, and we are talking keto. And it can seem daunting and confusing, and it was that way for me too when I first started. I'll give a shout out to my sister. My sister called me the other day and was like, "Hey, you've been talking this keto thing and I've seen you, you look like you're getting pretty good results. How do you start?" And so, I could have probably, this is one thing I could talk about all day, but, here are the things that I gave her. There are a number of podcasts that, I listen to, probably the most informative from a science standpoint and cooking standpoint and just kind of overall lifestyle is Two Keto Dudes. Mm-hmm. And if you go back and listen to episode one, they talk about how to do it and why to do it. And then just through their, I don't know how many hundreds of episodes they have, all kinds of topics related to nutrition, medical science, a lot of nutritional science. And then they have combined with the low carb movement. And so they established Keto Fest, which is a weekend celebration of all things keto. There's also a separate organization, Low Carb, and they have low carb festivals in other places. What are some of the podcasts that, or other sources that you have relied on or have used for information through this for you, Ron?
First will be the same one as your favorite, and that's Two Keto Dudes. When I was first starting out, Two Keto Dudes, I started from podcast number one, and they had a number of podcasts already, and I used to walk in the rain when the doctor cleared me. I could only walk 15 minutes at a time. And I would listen to those podcasts. And the science and everything that you spoke of is just perfect for teaching you. And they do it in a way that's not like, it's scientific, but they explain it in a way to where it makes sense to the common person who's not even interested in science.
Yep.
And then the recipe thing, they always do a recipe somewhere during there. But I also, since I'm a powerlifter and bodybuilder, I also listen to Keto Evangelist Athlete and Danny Vega, who is a Keto Evangelist. He was like a Keto Evangelist guy. He was on there. So he sort of branched off doing his own thing, too, with his family, Keto, and him and Maura Vega. I listen to them but one of my greatest resources now that I really turn people to is Dr. Ken Berry, because he does simple, quick YouTube videos. Then he does YouTube lives where he, Facebook lives and YouTube lives where he answers questions from people. And this is a doctor who's going and just sharing why he, as a doctor, he shares his journey of why he kept getting sicker and sicker following his own advice that he learned. And so to me, it holds a lot of power when a doctor comes up and says, "We've been doing this wrong, guys." So, and then there's a whole bunch of other things on YouTube, Dr. Gary Taubes, Dr. Stephen Finney, Volek. Mm-hmm. These are names that are like, they're like keto gods in the community. Yep. And so you got to really be a nerd like me to really know those guys. But those are some of the resources. And Keto Connect is another one. They were interested in interviewing me also, but that was right around the time when my wife contracted cancer. So I haven't really ever reached back out to them. But, and Jimmy Moore, yes. You mentioned Jimmy Moore. I was actually on his show a while back, and now he wants to bring me on because I told him about your show with the mental health thing. Mm-hmm. He's doing mental health a little bit now too. And and which takes us to ketogenic diet, which actually is a very good diet for your mental health. And so those are some of the resources that I use. You know,
let's talk about that a little. I mean, there are a ton of other resources. I want to come back to that. But let's talk about kind of the mental health angle to it. So, you know, earlier I mentioned we both use the word hangry. Now, I'm a marriage and family therapist, and there's a growing field of nutritional psychology where in terms of learning how certain, whatever the substance is, food, beverage, whatever, how it affects your mental health, your mood, et cetera. And so one of the things about this kind of crash and burn cycle from a mental health and mood regulation standpoint is anybody that knows me will tell you, you know, back then before keto, you don't want to be around Toby when he's either hungry or sleepy because I'm just irritable. And so if you think about the impact that has on your relationships, you're not your best you, right? And so, and frankly, when I got in those moods and it was, you know, kind of food driven and glucose driven, you know, I'd snap at my kids, snap at my wife because the only thing in my mind was I need to eat. And I began to, and maybe you might have had this experience too, where in my own personal experience, especially which led to some of the anxiety with fasting, was that, well, I don't want to turn into the person I turn into when I get hungry. So fasting, how is that going to work? And so you know, we'll circle around about fasting as well. But you know, from a therapy standpoint, one of the things when I'm working with clients, we often end up talking about nutrition, and I just ask them to keep a journal. Just take note of you ate this, you felt like this later. Take a note because some things may pop out to you. And so, from a mood regulation standpoint, we didn't really talk a whole lot about why the fat intake. And one of the reasons for the level of the fat intake is because your body burns it very slowly and consistently versus, you know, if you're a carb burner, you burn it fast and then you're out. But, you know, if you load up with enough fat in the morning, you burn it slowly through the rest of the day. And I'll kind of ask you, Ron, it was unexpected, but I experienced this level of alertness and energy that I didn't expect. And so you mentioned napping. I don't nap anymore. Don't need a nap. And I had kind of a reset of the way I describe it to people who haven't experienced it. It kind of like a month in at 5 a.m., I would wake up without my alarm. And it's kind of like those old Dracula movies where you just kind of pop up out of bed. And then I'm good all day, a lot of energy. In the beginning, I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? I'm just so much, you know, I didn't have that after lunch lull. But, you know, the flip side of that is that 9:30, 9:45, I'm out. And it was like, especially early on, it was some of the best sleep ever. So it was a really good cycle to get into. What were some of your mood experiences or experiences after you went keto?
I never had that, you know, that I do have the mental alertness now. But that whole joke that people seem to get, some people get, and I think as individual, most people will get that. But I think for me, I know why. Mm-hmm. It's because of all the years of doing what I did, my adrenal glands, I have issues with them now. Mm. So they're not working completely properly. They're working better now than they did years ago. But so I think I don't have that. However, I said I like to take naps, and that's more because I'm used to it. I mm-hmm. just like to take a nap. You know, I don't really have to. And the thing is, with me, naps are more habitual than anything. But I also am one of those people, it annoys Carrie. You get up, and she's a snoozer. She'll snooze 10 times, mm-hmm. you know. But she just can't understand how I can pop up. Now, I'm still not the type of person that's be talked to early in the morning, but that's because I have never been a morning person. And I think that over the years I had gotten so used to being ill in the morning, I still don't talk in the morning or mm-hmm. whatever, but it's not because I'm hangry or anything like that. It's just because I just don't like to talk too much. And a lot of times it's because I'm so focused in the morning. I'm yep. focused on getting dressed. I'm focused on my mission. I was mission oriented for so many years in the military that it's hard to drum that out of you, you know? And so, but as far as like energy levels and all that, man, I'm good. I'm good when my body is working properly, when I'm strict keto. The more further away I get from keto, then I can feel that sluggishness coming back and all those things, which is why I don't stray that far from it anyway. But I never have experienced that there's a high. Now, I will say, if we're going to talk about fasting, I actually get a high when I fast. You get away from food completely.
Yeah.
For 24 hours before I'll experience that little high.
Yeah. Hold that thought, because that's controversial. I think we should talk a whole lot more about after this break. Fasting, why you do it, your experiences with it, and also some of the resources out there to talk you through and coach you through fasting. So you're listening to Paradigm, Insights into Relationships and You. We're talking everything keto today, so we'll be right back. This is Toby Jenkins, host of Paradigm, Insights into Relationships and You, and this is One Minute Insight. For many of us, we can handle maybe 2 to 3 things at one time, and it's that fourth thing, no matter how small or how big, that can send us over the edge and make a real difference in our mental health. That fourth thing for many of us may have been the killing of George Floyd by Minneapolis police and the recent protests that have come along with that. For me personally, it's been overwhelming. I've felt angry. I've been frustrated. I've not known exactly what to do, but want to do something. So I'll go back to one of my earlier messages, and one of the most important thing to realize is that in these kind of situations, as with others, it's okay to not be okay. And acknowledging that is the first step in being able to work yourself in a healthy way through this mental health crisis we're all experiencing. This is Toby Jenkins, host of Paradigm, Insights into Relationships and You. One of the biggest stressors that we encounter is money. Money issues strain our family life, create stress in our relationships, and can provoke serious anxiety and depression. And many don't know where to turn to get relief. That's where the Darius Norman Show comes in. The Darius Norman Show airs daily on WTTA FM 101.2 from 1 to 2 p.m. Darius Norman is a certified credit and financial counselor and author of Rewriting Financial Rules. It's his objective to empower others with educational tools and services to assist them in taking control of their financial and credit issues. Tune in to the Darius Norman Show on WTTA FM 101.2, and you can follow him on Twitter at the Darius Norman Show. We're back. You're listening to Paradigm, Insights into Relationships and You. Today we're talking keto, and before the break, we were talking about fasting and intermittent fasting, which you hear a lot, and time-restricted eating. So fasting essentially is going without food. Now, I can tell you from my experience, back in the day when we used to fast with our church small group, it was a horrible experience. You know, I was a heavy carb eater back then. And, you know, I'd have that crash because I had nothing. And then it just felt like I felt jittery all day, nauseous. And it was a, kind of a miserable experience. But there have been some key resources. And so if done following some, you know, some recommendations, like Ron was saying, it's an amazing experience. So Ron, why, let's talk about how you got into fasting, why you did it, and any resources or pointers you could give people if they want to investigate it.
Well, how I got into it, I actually got into it, like you, I had a horrible experience. The first time when I became a Christian, pastor calls for a 7-day fast. So
7 days?
7 days, and it's no food, only juice and water. But what I didn't hear, because I was a new Christian, I was running my mouth, was that it was sunrise to sunset. I went the first 3 days with no food because I was a hardy and Christian. I was like, I'm doing this thing. If pastor's going to do it, I'm going to do it. So we were at this food distribution center, and we looked around and noticed that all of my brothers and sisters were eating. We were like, what's going on, man? These people are not serious Christians.
You're not true.
You know, pastor said, you know, I was like, pastor said, you know, and then they said, no, you goofball. It's sunrise to sunset. What, were you not listening when he was preaching? So that was my first experience. So I went the first 3 days, but then the part I missed was pastor was doing that, but he didn't expect everyone else to do that. He was expecting everyone else to go sunrise, sunset. But me being a military guy, I said, well, if pastor's going to do 7 days with no food and no food, just water and juice, I'm going to do it. So that was my first experience. And it was miserable. But once I had that knowledge, it was like putting deposit into a bank account. You can withdraw upon it. Once I had that, I knew I could go 7 days without eating. It changed my world. And that was 10, 15 years, almost 12 years before keto. So fast forward to when I became keto, to me, keto and fasting actually go hand in hand because your body actually starts burning fat, the body fat. It'll take that, as Richard and Carl say, it'll take that Krispy Kreme you ate 10 years ago. It'll say, oh, we're not eating today? Oh, okay, let me eat that Krispy Kreme he ate 10 years ago. Let me eat some of them fries that he ate that I stored. Because that's what the body does. The body stores food for later use. That's fat. And so that's what happens once you become fat adapted in keto. That's why you'll be hungry for a second, and all of a sudden it's like you'll forget to eat sometimes. There's been days where I've eaten in the morning and then forgotten to eat, and I realize 8 o'clock at night I'm going to go to bed. Man, I didn't eat.
Yeah.
Wow. And then my natural habit is want to get up and eat something. I'm like, no. I don't have to get up and eat nothing. I'm good. I got enough fat on me to last for like a month. So I'm good.
Right.
So that's how I started fasting. And the other reason I started fasting was because of Dr. Jason Fung, who's one of the, who's a nephrologist in Canada. And he runs the IDM program, Intensive Dietary Management Program.
Yeah.
And the reason I got interested in that was because I was having issues with my kidneys from diabetes. My kidneys function had gotten down to like 40% of normal. I was going into renal failure. And I stumbled upon Jason Fung because of Two Keto Dudes. They interviewed him.
Right.
And he said he was actually curing people or at least making their kidneys improve by fasting. So I went to their website and started following their tenets of fasting. And lo and behold, once I got to the point to where I wasn't eating for 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours, and then fasting, you have to step up. And it becomes easier when you're keto, but you don't have to be keto to fast.
No.
But it just becomes easier, in my opinion, because your body's so used to running off fat. You know,
I would agree.
That's why I did it. I did it because I was trying to improve my kidneys.
So Jason Fong has written a couple of books, two of them which I read was the Diabetes Code, which is steps you through the medical science of fasting and how it helps cure your body, and then the Obesity Code, which is very similar in terms of how to use fasting to heal your body. So the part about, you know, I compare my experience before keto and after keto of fasting was that I, you know, building up to it was, I was just anxious when I started. I read the book, followed it.
Because you're told you're going to die.
Yeah. Or that you have to have food.
We're going to die. You have to eat.
Yeah. And the thing is,
carbohydrates.
and you don't. And so, you know, part of it is an adaptive strategy that humans have developed over, you know, thousands of years to survive. We weren't in an environment where food was available the way it is now.
Yeah.
So we naturally went days without eating. Now we drank because you had to have water, but hey, if you don't eat, especially if you're fat adapted, and we say fat adapted meaning that your body is using fat primarily as your energy source, then you know, the hardest part for me was just the anxiety of, oh gosh, I've gone now 12 hours, I haven't anything to eat, am I going to fall out? And so, you know, my progression through was similar to yours. I built up. And then probably I would get hungry the first afternoon. And then that was more out of habit because I'm used to eating. And then after that, I wasn't hungry. The longest I've gone is 3.5 days. And I didn't eat because I was hungry. I ate because I was like, well, this is how long I said I'd fast. And the other thing is that, you know, I've said before, I'm trying to manage diabetes and glucose. I didn't lose weight while I was fasting, which is kind of interesting to me.
There's a reason. There's a big reason.
Yeah. But then the other thing.
And I know, you know, because we talked about it before, but.
And then the other thing was that, you know, after I got over the mental part, then functioning normally, was fine. I was actually most concerned about going to sleep hungry because of all the kind of my history with what happens when I get hungry. And so, you mentioned earlier before the break, while fasting, you feel really good. I experienced the same thing, and I'm a runner. And so, I do anywhere from 20 to 30 miles a week. And I was nervous about, wow, can I run after not eating for 2 days? Yes. Everything was fine. Probably the most important thing is to make sure you're hydrated. But, you know, there's some key things that in Jason Fong's book about sodium intake, magnesium intake, bone broth,
and how to make
it. And these are all good things to take in while you're fasting. But, you know, the other part from a diabetic standpoint is that at least if you're in my situation where I tend to, where I am carb intolerant, kind of way I would describe it, it gives that whole digestive system a break. And so it's not constantly on and firing, which is actually one of the, you know, one of the fulcrums with diabetes is that we've just overstimulated the whole endocrine system. So,
and that's for me, I, what I was talking about with keto, where I never had that high, the euphoria they talked about. I get it all the time when I fast. Actually, it's probably why I fast as much as I fast now, is because that after about hour 24, when I wake up, whatever time I wake up after hour 24, normally after I start moving around, it's like someone's kicking me in my butt. I'm just moving. I want to lift weights. I want to run. I want to jump. And it lasts for about 3 hours. And then after that, it calms back down. But it's almost like I've drank a ton of coffee or something.
Yeah.
And it's real weird. And it's always around the same time. And it's just real weird. So I don't have that keto thing with the euphoria, but I do get the thing, that euphoria when I fast. And I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy it. Everyone else, it gets on everyone else's nerves. because I become hyper. But yeah. I thoroughly enjoy it. And I can lift weights. I'm 3 days into a fast, and I still lift like a power lifter would lift, like a bodybuilder would lift. I would have 2-3 hour sessions. And I always have salted water with magnesium in it. That's my first drink. And then after that, I can just drink plain water. But yep. That's one of the keys, because your body does not hold on to sodium when you're keto. And when yes. you fast, after the first like 18 hours, it'll start releasing sodium. It'll start releasing sodium.
And people
are scared of salt because they've been taught to be scared of salt. But when you're keto, you need salt. You have to have salt.
Yeah,
you know.
You absolutely need it. And that's one of the secrets to doing endurance on keto and while fasting, and getting away from refueling with basically sugars. Because once you get your body into burning fat, then that's what your body's burning when you go into endurance. There's some debate about it. And if you're into running and curious about doing keto while running, another good book or resource is Primal Endurance by Mark Sisson. And there's a whole strategy kind of built around these same kind of ancestral principles of how we've been wired to survive forever, and using those to do endurance exercises and kind of using that technology. And I have to admit, I was nervous about it when I started it, but I stuck with it. And it's been, you know, I tend to think of it as, you know, I'm 47 and I don't know that I'm going to run faster in terms of doing half marathons or marathons, but this is more of a strategy. I just feel better. I've had far fewer injuries.
And I tell you another thing, man, and this is one that a lot of people don't think about. A lot of people, especially when you lose a lot of weight like I have, and people are wondering why I don't have all that loose skin, is because of what's called autophagy. And yes, I fast now. Sure. My longest fast has been 8 days. Mm. And basically water, coffee, salted water, coffee. And I do it sometimes for autophagy, because as I lose weight, I want it to skin, and your skin will start shrinking up.
Yep.
And what it does is it recycles the old proteins, and it'll break down the skin cells, the old skin cells. It'll use everything for fuel because you're not bringing anything else in.
Yep.
And that's one of the reasons that I do extended fast. Most of my fasts are at least 3 days. I normally do 3 to 5 days. There are times when I do get weak, but a lot of times it's more sleep related than anything, because not because I'm hungry, but just because I can't go to sleep. I'm so fired up. So used to it now.
Yeah. And combining that with a spiritual practice is a beautiful thing.
There you go. And then that's the other thing, is that most of my fasting is for nutritional, but because I'm a spiritual person, I also use it as a spiritual guide also. And then I have other times when I will fast spiritually, but I still get the benefit from nutrition wise. So it's like both of them run hand in hand. My last fast was 3 days, and it was more of a spiritual journey, but I did the same things I normally do when I fast. I just didn't eat, and I didn't have to. And it was so cool because Carrie, she cooks most of the meals, and she was just eating whatever she wanted. She didn't have to worry about me eating. And I told her, I said, when I fast, you can fix whatever you want. I'm good.
Right.
You know? And she couldn't believe it the first time she saw me fast, because she couldn't believe it, because she could not believe I was not going to eat. Because she still has that mindset that she cannot fast. And that's something I will help her grow into.
Yeah,
she'll start seeing the benefits of it, especially for women. It's a very helpful tool for women to help with menopause symptoms, and a whole bunch of things. But that's neither here nor there. But it's just so many benefits to it. And if you really look at it, before the 1940s and 1950s, if you go look at a picture, and you'll see that how healthy. If you look at a picture of a beach versus now, when you look at a picture of a beach, how fat everyone is. But that's because people didn't eat all day. You didn't eat all day back then. You couldn't afford it, number one.
True.
And grocery stores weren't the way. There wasn't a convenience store and a grocery store on every corner. There was nothing open on Sunday. So if you didn't have food, you just didn't have it. And there was many times when we would actually go to bed hungry, not because we didn't have food, because you're not, Big Mama wasn't going to sit up there and let you eat all day. You're going to eat when it's time to eat, and that was it. You didn't do what? There was no such thing as snacking. We didn't snack.
No.
You know, you were out working. You were out in the fields working.
Yeah.
You didn't have time. So you were sort of forced into intermittent fasting back then. Whereas now we can sit up and play video games all day and snack all day. And then we wonder why everybody's fat.
Yeah.
I almost cry when I go to a football game now because I'm a youth leader and in youth ministry, and the kids are just so fat now.
Yeah.
And I want to reach out and help every one of them, man, but I can't. And because you can't just go up and talk to kids because parents are getting mad.
That's true. You call my kid
the
fat?
Ones in my church, yeah, but the ones in my church and that I'm in charge of, and I've been able to do that, and I work with mostly inner city kids, and I've been blessed to be able to speak keto into their lives, and then they go home when their parents see them losing weight, because most of the time it's weight loss for them, because they don't want to be called fat anymore, because you're not bad, not bad, how hard kids are on each other, but they'll tell their parents this. And then you start off, the way I started off keto was I didn't really know the deal. I was still eating bacon and had a little bit of sugar in it and all this. I just ate the foods they said eat. And some of them had a little traces amount of sugar in them, but I just ate those foods and stayed away from the carbs and I lost weight. And that's what I teach them, because they're not going to have the money to buy organic this and organic that. So I just tell them, you start out eating this. And as you go, you'll be able to afford more of the better stuff because you're not eating all that crap, and it saves you money in the long run. When you fast, that's the ultimate money saver.
Yeah.
You don't eat.
Yeah.
When you don't eat for 3 days out of 7 days, you save a ton of money.
You do. That's a good point. We're up against a commercial break, and so, you know, fasting, we'll probably talk a little bit more about that, but we're talking keto today and a lot of the tools in keto. And you know, when we come back, one of the things we didn't talk about, which you know, when you bring up with fasting, is what do you eat when you go out to eat? So we'll be right back.
Do you want to help positively transform schools? Then let me, Joel Cotty, keynote speaker and facilitator of the Professional Learning Ignite hashtag Love in Schools, put deep passion, purpose, and joy back into your classrooms, hallways, and school events. Share my contact information with a principal or district leader near you. My phone number is 859-967-8510, and find me on Twitter and Facebook at Ignite Love PD.
And we're back. You're listening to Paradigm, Insights into Relationships and You. I'm Toby Jenkins. Today we're talking keto and with Ron Garrett. And before the break, we're talking about fasting and some of the principles of fasting. And so, we mentioned a couple of good books that are out there that give you really good instruction, explain the science to you. In general, I've seen recommended, fasting, doing an extended fast for, 2 to 3 days once a month is kind of the, and it can vary depending on what you're trying to do and achieve with this, with intermittent fasting. The other concept that kind of feeds into this is either, you hear it, intermittent fasting or time restricted eating. And all that basically means is that eating or getting all of your calories in a small window. So, before the break, we're talking about eating all the time because we have food readily available. But another way to basically give that whole digestive system a break is to eat in a window. And so earlier, Ron was talking about eating breakfast around 11 or 12 and then finishing up around 6. That's kind of what during the summer, that's what I try to do is most mornings. I'm not hungry when I get up, So I'll eat when I'm hungry, and usually that's around noon, and try to eat dinner around 5 or 6, and then shut it down for the day. You know, it can get awkward when you're fasting and someone else is eating. And so, you know, I've had the experience where I'm fasting and, you know, the people we're out, we're with, they're kind of like, eat, man. Aren't you going to eat? I'm like, nah, I'm good. Eat. Well, then they feel bad for eating. And so really, if someone's fasting, they're okay. But anyway, but, you know, eating out, what are some of, so people always ask me, well, what do you eat? What do you do when you eat out? Now, number one, I really enjoy cooking quite a bit. And so we don't eat out nearly as much as we used to. But essentially, there's some go-tos for eating out. One of mine, Ron in particular, and maybe we can talk about it by genre. So let's say burgers. A lot of places will prepare your burger without the bun, or give you extra, put it in lettuce. And then, of course, fries are kind of off, so you can have vegetables or some other substitutes. What are some of your other go-tos when you eat out?
For me, burgers, anywhere, just about. I just go and say, hey, I want 3 of your burgers with cheese, 4 sometimes. Or I get the double bacon without cheese, without the ketchup. So basically, it's just meat, cheese, bacon, and vegetables. And I'll tell them to go heavy on the onions because I love onions. Then I have rib places. You have to be careful with them because if they use sauce. I have a couple that don't use sauce. They smoke the ribs. But even if you, in a pinch, if you get one that's got sauce, as long as it's just, you just tell them to hold off on the extra sauce because you may get a little bit of sugar in there. But that's like if you're on the road or something like that. But I just try to go to places that have good quality meats, and or you can go to a good salad place. Just make sure that you tell them about the croutons or the little French onion things, because they're bad about putting those on. But I can eat just about anywhere except for a pasta place. I can eat in a Chinese restaurant. I can eat just about anywhere if they have meat and vegetables. And so I really, and especially nowadays, because keto has become so popular, and not even keto, low carb has become so popular that all of your major chain restaurants are going to have something that's keto, or you can tailor something keto. It's not a strange thing for you to drive to any restaurant anymore, drive through, and say, I would like a low-carb burger or a burger with no bun. And they'll be like, oh, okay, low-carb. And you'll see it come on the screen, low-carb. Just 3 years ago, when I first started keto, man, they looked at you like you were crazy. You throwing away the bun? You mean to tell me you don't want fries?
Right.
And now, it's like, especially for me, I go to places around here that are off the main guys, Burger King, Wendy's, but they, most of them know me as a low carb guy. And so it's not a stranger, and that's what's happening. Our communities are evolving to where there's more keto friendly options, even major restaurants. If you tell them that you have, that's a food sensitivity. Even when I go on a cruise, I can eat keto the entire time, especially on a cruise.
Especially when I cater for you.
No, man, that doesn't mean that you're going to go sometime and they're not going to use the best oils. They're not going to always cook everything in butter or ghee or coconut oil. You're going to get vegetable oils. You just have to realize that's what you're getting when you eat out. When you eat out, you sort of take, so you may actually get something. There's been times when I've been eating green beans and I'm like, hey, these taste really sweet. Come to find out, they put honey in them. So I just push them off to the side. I've gotten a bite or two of them, but it ain't gonna kill me. And I'll test my glucose when I get home, and it raises up a little bit. But as long as I don't eat all of it, I had that bite or two. But for the most part, I can eat just about anywhere that anyone else can eat. But when I'm fasting, I don't really worry about it. And I, as you know from the last time I talked to you, I really don't give a rip what people think. So I go sometimes, I go somewhere and everyone else is eating and they're like, oh, you need to eat. Look, man, I'm fasting. period.
Yeah.
Can I have some coffee? And I'll have coffee. So if you got something to drink before you, if you're fasting, most of the time people will sort of leave you alone.
True.
But I never really worry about it because I do what I want to do anyway. So true. I just don't worry about it. But that's my spiel. That's what I do. It's very easy to me. And I'm the opposite of you. I like to cook, but most nights, just about most nights, I eat out. I'll bring something home. Now, Carrie, since I've been with her, she cooks a lot more. So I probably eat out less now, but I eat out a lot. It's nothing for me to stop and hit. Wendy's is probably my favorite. I don't get paid by Wendy's. But Wendy's, because their burger, and the reason why is not because it's that much better. It's because I did my research, and their burgers have the highest fat content in them. That's the sole reason I stop at Wendy's. I try to find the fattest burger I can get. If I want the biggest, I go to Hardee's because I can get their monster burger, which is 2/3 of a pound, and I get two of them. Yeah, so I'm a pig when it comes to stuff like that.
that's some good eating. The only other kind of restaurant that can be challenging is if you like sushi. And so
And I'm not a big sushi person. I introduced sushi to my family, but I'm the only one in the family that doesn't eat sushi. That's really, I can eat it, but I definitely don't eat it now because of all the rice.
Well, I was gonna say I usually get sashimi over a bed of lettuce and just eat the fish and whatever roll they have, you can often ask for it without the rice. So it's either it's just the seaweed paper and then the meat essentially, or just get over rice. In the time we have left, there are a couple tools that are helpful. We mentioned earlier getting a glucose meter. You can get those at your drugstore, the grocery store. They're pretty readily available. Brand doesn't really matter. They're getting kind of fancy. You can get them with Bluetooth that'll go right to your phone. The other, in terms of measuring ketones, that's the real measure of if your body's in ketosis or not. There are a couple different ways to do that. One, you can get urine strips just about anywhere. And so those measure exogenous ketones out of your urine, meaning it's floating around in your waist. It's not as accurate as blood. I use what's called the Keto Mojo. It measures ketones and blood sugar. And so generally a reading of 0.5 or over is an indication that your body is in ketosis and that you're burning fat as your primary fuel. It depends on what you're trying to get out of it. I've heard people who try to get up into like the 3 range. And really the recipe for getting your ketones up that I've found is really this combination of not eating and exercising. And so that's one way revs up those ketones, and you can feel it. It's that thing that Ron was talking about earlier, where when you are burning that fat for fuel, it's a good source of energy for you, and you will feel it from an energy standpoint. And so I mentioned earlier, I don't do this as much anymore. because I've been wearing a continuous glucose monitor. And by the way, I should probably mention that too. If you are concerned about your glucose, a continuous glucose monitor is essentially a sensor with a very small probe that sticks into your arm. I use the Freestyle Libre. There's another, I can't remember the brand off the top of my head, but there's another one that you wear in your belly. And it works with your phone or reader, and you can at any moment take a reading and know what your blood sugar is. Right now, they are available primarily through prescription through your doctor. I had to convince my doctor because the criteria right now is pretty restrictive, but I had to convince him that I want to understand what's going on in my body. And the more data I have, the more data you have, and we can help each other out here. And so highly recommend it, especially if you have concerns or suspect or if you have any symptoms. It's a good indicator. And one of the other things I've found on this journey is that certain things, so for instance, intense exercise for me, I get a glucose response. I just didn't understand that before. And so the thing, you know, I've learned a number of things. I've learned that I have a dawn effect, the act of waking up, I get an instant response. And so, gosh, time flies when you're talking about this good stuff, but.
No, right?
I know. We might have to come back with more info because there's still more. So Ron, you have a YouTube channel and you are being interviewed all over the place. How can people find you on YouTube?
If you just do a Google search for Ron Big Black Garrett, just about everything that I do, because I did it, I checked it out a while back. My late wife was the one that told me to make sure that I used my name like that. But it'll normally take you to something I've done. But on YouTube, I'm Ron Big Black Garrett. And that's pretty much it. I have a WordPress, which I haven't done lately since she passed, but I post every now and then. I'm on Instagram as Ron Garrett, maybe Ron Big Black Garrett, I'm not for sure. And I'm on Facebook, so. And I just try to cover all of it. I'm not as active as I need to be since she passed. Sure. I just have not felt like doing it. I've had a bunch of interviews that I've just canceled because I just have. But you intrigued me, which is why I accepted yours.
I appreciate that.
Well, it was more because it was more than keto. You know, I was dealing with losing with grief.
Yeah.
So I wanted to touch that side of it. So that was why, you know, but since then I've been contacted by Mr. Jimmy Moore. Eventually he wants to do that grief thing, like I was saying, which I'm honored because he's like the biggest name in the game, you know. So
yeah, he sure is.
So that's sort of my journey right there. But you can reach me. I'll talk to anybody. I'll help anybody. I'll do what I can to help you. But most of the time, I'm just going to point you to the resources that I used. And it's up to you to make that decision. You know, it's just like we say in Christianity, I can show you all day, but you have to make a decision to follow Christ. And I can't walk that journey for you. It's your journey. Yeah. And I can't walk your keto journey for you. It's your journey. Yeah. But I can show you how to get there.
Right. You know, and once again, you know, the purpose is that diabetes and these other kind of environmental and nutritional issues affect the Black and Brown community a lot. And this is a good way to take control of it. So, I have to also, you know, have two things. One, happy belated birthday. And then congratulations on being a grandfather, man. That's awesome.
Oh, man. Thank you. Yeah, it's awesome, man. And this was a tough time to be a grandfather with everything that I had happen to me, losing my wife last year. But I'll say once, I appreciated it probably a lot more once I finally got to hold Hezekiah.
Oh, awesome.
And I appreciate life even more since I lost my wife last year and finding the lady that I have now. So I'm a lot more appreciative of life. I think I got complacent over the years. Sure. But I don't think I'm ever going to be complacent anymore.
Well, you know, if we've helped one person find a viable solution to manage their own health through nutrition, then this time is well worth it, man.
I'm in. Yeah.
You've been listening to Paradigm, Insights into Relationships and You. This has been an awesome discussion about keto, and we'll be back next week. Relationship therapy or personal growth question you would like answered on the air, email me at toby@paradigmradioshow.com. You can find archive shows and additional details about guests of the show at the show's website, www.paradigmradioshow.com. You can follow weekly 1-minute insight posts on the show's Instagram and Twitter feed at Paradigm Radio Show. For archived episodes, you can find episodes wherever you subscribe to podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Paradigm, Insights into Relationships in You, is brought to you by Jenkins Professional Services and Hype Media Global.
Thank you for tuning into Paradigm, Insights into Relationships in You with Toby Jenkins. Join us again.